Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi.
It's hockey night.
In not Canada, hockey night in basement?
Yeah, it's not high. Da, 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 da. That was the ESPN National Hockey Night music.
Today we're going to be playing Trick Shot, published in 2020, designed by Nikita Krylov and Artem Nichipirov. It's a cool name. They worked on Guards of Atlantis, a tabletop MOBA. The artist is N.A. There was an artist, we just don't know who. And it is published by Wolf Designer. The game description is: Trick Shot is a fast-paced tabletop adaptation of ice hockey. It covers all the familiar aspects of our favorite sport, such as breakneck speed, checking, hitting, line changes, penalties, offsides, and the excitement of the scoring the goal. It didn't mention icing. Is there icing? The mechanics are card drafting, dice rolling, grid movement, hand management, and push your luck. Just like real hockey. The box art is kind of a cartoony goalie diving after a puck that's going in as two players are crashing the net.
Yeah, you got the defenseman who's clearly missing a tooth, as all hockey players. He's got like a bandage on his chin. And then the forward for the other team has like a very suave, like Errol Flynn mustache.
Yeah, that defenseman looks like he will crush that man. Like, that is a large individual. Based on all this, would you pull it off a shelf?
I mean, the answer for me is yes, because I backed it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we have played a previous hockey game. It was a print and play called Pond Hockey, and it was bad.
That was not good. That was not a winning experience. So,
But this one plays differently than that one. So I have hopes. And I think, you know, based on the art as well, like, it clearly isn't going for a, you know, one for one hockey simulation. This isn't EA Sports NHL 21 or something as a board game, right?
Yeah, which I think is good, because I feel like a lot of sports to game board game adaptations don't always go that well. I mean there's not really too many super popular ones. I feel like I've heard discussed on podcasts before is that people try it and it's very difficult. So I think it's smart to kind of be like, hey, we're not trying for a simulation of hockey, it's a game that captures the hockey experience, I'm guessing, just based on this,
right? Which I think is, you know, Jeff Ingelsson always talks about that, right? He designs games to be an experience,
right?
And so instead of trying to design I think the famous baseball, it's Stratomatics Baseball, and I think football has one as well. So, you know, those are trying to go for, like, you know, you roll a die and, you know, suddenly your pitcher has to go to the bathroom and throws like two strikes and, you know, up two strikes real fast. And it's got crazy stuff.
Yeah, based on this art, I think it's supposed to be less of like an actual NHL game and maybe more of like Slapshot the game.
Yeah. Old time hockey, like Eddie Shore. Yeah.
So I don't know if I answered. I would pick it up just out of the curiosity of a hockey game. We are big hockey fans. I would be hesitant about it though, just because of the difficulty of sports games and that pond hockey game that we played.
It was very bad.
All right. How do I think it's played? Oh no. See, we got card drafting. We got dice rolling. We got grid movement. Hand management. So it's not a deck builder, it sounds like, unless they just cut that out. So we're going to draw some cards. I'm guessing we're going to have players, I think. I do know we're going to have minis. So cheated there. So we're going to have minis of our players, grid movement. So they're going to be on a grid. I don't want to say it's going to be roll and move. So I'm not sure how the dice rolling, I think, will be more of like, it's like we're going to have a hand of cards that maybe gives us plays kind of options of movement or shots. Or maybe defensive, probably the things they listed there, checking, hitting, line. Well, I don't know, line changes are going to work. Those kind of things. I wonder if we're going to like play a card. I think this would be cool. You play a card for each. So you have like four, three, maybe five minis on the board if it is trying for true hockey. And you play a card for each one. And then we simultaneously like flip them over. And those are the actions we take. And so like if you hit somebody, you maybe get a penalty if they played a dipsy doodle card or something.
Ooh, a dipsy doodle.
And so that kind of thing, maybe like that, push your luck. Cause obviously if you throw everybody on offense, then maybe they'll get the puck and go the other direction. Dice rolling, I think, is going to be more on the outcome. So like, you know, to take a shot, that's, I think, where the dice is going to come in, making like maybe take a shot, make a save will be where the dice play in. Yeah. I don't know. Something like that, maybe.
Okay. All right. So I have to redeem myself after the Copenhagen history lesson. So ice hockey is believed to have originated from simple stick and ball games played in the 18th and 19th century. We do know that some of these today is field hockey and hurling, which hurling on its own is pretty badass as well. The first known mention of hockey was in 1772, but there's been other possible mentions going all the way back to 1527. There was a statue of Galway banning a sport called hokey, which was the hurling of a little ball with sticks or staves. And in 1363, in a proclamation by King Edward, but this may have been a translation thing, as the translator in 1720 said it was cambric, which is actually closer to golf or croquet. And it's possible that the word puck comes from Gaelic or Irish as the blow given by a hurler to the ball with his cammon or hurley. Yeah, all that being said, Montreal is actually considered the center of development for modern day ice hockey, as the first indoor organized game was played there in March of 1875. McGill University is credited as the first hockey club in 1877, and the first world championship, and I put that in heavy air quotes, was held in 1883. They actually had 9 players on the ice, and at this point it did go down to 7. And then this is where Lord Stanley of Preston, who was the governor general or whatever it was of Canada, his kids were super into it. And so he went and saw a game, and then he was super into it. And he decided that there needed to be some sort of trophy to be bestowed upon the best team in Canada. And so he purchased the Silver Bowl, which is the top of the Stanley Cup, named after Lord Stanley. And the Montreal Hockey Club was the first one to win it in 1893. The first matches in the U.S. were played between Yale and John Hopkins in 1893. And they actually played a game in the United Kingdom in 1895. And all of Lord Stanley's 5 sons played in that exhibition match. And then the professional league that we know today, well, the first one was actually formed in 1904, but it disbanded in 1907. And then the National Hockey Association was formed in Montreal in 1910, and they refined it down to 5 players and a goalie. They also put in 3 20-minute periods, and they also added in the minor and major penalties. And then that organization was reorganized into the NHL in 1917. And expanded into the U.S. in 1924 with the Boston Bruins. The last non-NHL team to win the Stanley Cup were the Victoria Cougars in 1925. And at that point, 12 teams made up the league. But at the end of 1942, for obvious reasons, they were down to 6, and those are considered the original 6. So the Canadiens, the Maple Leafs, the Bruins, the Blackhawks, the Red Wings, boo, and the Rangers. We added 8 more, or we went up to 14 teams in the 60s. And by 1975, we added another 8. And then we added in the WHL, the PCHL, and the WHA all got folded in too. And that's when we got like Wayne Gretzky. That's when he came into the league. And then the 90s, we saw 7 more teams, including the Colorado Avalanche, come in. And then the most recent team will be the Seattle Kraken. They will come in next year and we'll have 32 teams. And then the NHL has only, they played shortened seasons, but they've only missed a single season once since being formed in 1910. And the team with the most championships is Montreal with 24. And until 1999, they were the team in North American sports with the most championships. And that got eclipsed in 99 when the Yankees took their 25th, and they now have 27. So now they are the most winning sports organization.
All right. Well, how do we play this old-time hockey game?
Old-time hockey, yeah. Okay. So if the rule book kind of splits it into 2 sort of ways that you can play. You can play a friendly game, which just is a single period that'll consist of about 10 turns or 10 rounds. And a full game is obviously three periods, so it equals about 30 turns, and the possible overtime with four additional turns. And the rule book says that a period takes about 30 minutes. So a friendly game should take about 30 minutes, and a full game should take about an hour and a half. And then obviously, just like real hockey, the player with the team that scores the most goals is the winner. The team to move first at the beginning of the period is the team that wins the faceoff. So there's going to be each side is going to roll three dice, and which player gets the most arrows and pucks. So the dice will have blank sides, a side with a big red X, a side with a blue arrow, and then a side with black puck icons. I believe it's one X, one blue arrow, two pucks, and two blanks. So whichever team rolls the most arrows and pucks on their three dice is they win the faceoff, and we just re-roll ties. Each player will start their turn or follow on the start of each player's turn or following a successful action. They can either do one of two things. They can perform an action or execute a line change. And a player's turn ends with an unsuccessful action or a line change. So to perform an action, they're going to activate a player. Then they're going to choose an action. So you've got move, pass, shoot, poke, or hit. So if you move, you just move up to their speed.
Just to clarify, no dipsy doodle.
No dipsy doodle.
That's unfortunate.
Although there might be cards that are similar to a dipsy doodle. So players move up to their speed. So the speed, each of the types of players, so you got defensemen, wingers, and centers and goalies, and they each have their own speed. So they can move up to that many hexes or squares, either orthogonally or diagonally in a single direction. And players will move regardless of whether the action has failed. Players can pass either diagonally or orthogonally any number of squares. Any failed attempts will still move the puck, but have different effects based on the number of bounce, which is the puck icon in this case. And you can pass to an unoccupied square from the neutral zone. So you can basically do a dumping chase. Players can shoot orthogonally or diagonally towards the net. And a shot outside the offensive zone is a slap shot and can't be re-rolled. And shots inside are basically wrist shots, and you have a chance to do a re-roll. If you don't roll any failures, it's a good hockey goal. And 2+ failed results in a glove save and your turn ends. And if there's one fail is a rebound, it moves out of the crease and then one space for each bounce result. Pokes let you steal the puck. And hits let you, it's kind of a combination of it's a hit and a poke, but it will almost, you have a better chance of getting a penalty. So when you do poke or hit, you have a chance of incurring a penalty, and a player ends up in the penalty box. And they feel real shame for 2 minutes, and then they get out and they don't feel the shame anymore. So once you've chosen an action, so you've activated a player, you've chosen an action, you're going to roll the die. So each time you do an action, you're going to add a die to your roll. So you have more chances of rolling a red X, which means that the action has failed, and then your turn is going to be done. You can re-roll. So each team is going to start with stamina tokens, and they're actually one side. You can see the back of a player, and they're all up against the wall, and they're ready to jump off the bench. And then the other side, they're all like leaned back, and you can tell that they're super tired. One of the defensemen has his tongue sticking out. So that means it's a used stamina token. So you have three of those, and you can refresh them different ways. So after you roll, you're going to resolve the action. And then depending on if you got blue arrows, your opponent will also get a reaction, which will let them move one of their players one space orthogonally. And then there is offsides. So you have to make sure that the puck crosses or the player crosses with the puck, and you can't have any other players in the zone. And then basically the press your luck is if you are successful with an action and you want to do another action, you're going to continue adding dice. So the chances increase that you're going to fail. And if you decide to not do an action, you can perform a line change as well. And that lets you flip all your exhausted stamina tokens back to their ready side And if there's no face-off when the turn ends, then we move the round counter. And the round counter is just the, it's a big clock at the top of the board that goes from 20 minutes down to zero in 2 minute increments. And so that's how we track the period, basically. That's our time. At the beginning of the period and after each line change, a player plays one of their line cards. So we'll each have four line cards. And this is a special rule on the line card, is active until the next comes into play. And during the last period, you can pull your goalie to get an additional player on the ice. And those are all the rules.
Play ball, play puck, let's play. We just finished a game of Trick Shot. To recap, Kiwi, the Carolina Hurricanes, had two good hockey goals. And I, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, had one good hockey goal. What was your winning strategy?
Try to put the puck in the back of the net, you know? You can't really have a strategy. It's just trying to get guys to open ice to get passes so that you could get into the neutral zone. I feel like checking was pretty strong in the game. So trying to make sure that you had guys that weren't starting orthogonal to another player so that you could move was pretty important. So trying to get that positioning in order to get those passes. And there were a couple of times like looking at the board where I was just like, I'm going to pass. And then I looked at it, I was like, I can't pass. Yep. So now I got to move around some more. And like the more you maneuver around, the more dice you're rolling. So the bigger chance that you have of getting to a point where you can't, you know, go. And I guess I could have used more stamina.
It was a little tricky at first because we didn't know how often we'd be refreshing them. But yeah, you definitely have to push your luck a lot, because like you're probably going to have to make three moves in there just to kind of reposition, let alone any passing and shooting going on. Yeah. So what'd you think of the theme? Did you feel like a hockey player?
I mean, I don't know if I felt like a hockey player, but I certainly felt like, you know, there were definitely elements like, yeah, you know, I think in the pond hockey one, it was like we had cards that just had numbers, and you played those numbers, and those were your action points, and the action points let you pass or check or do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I felt like the difference, the big, you know, there were a couple of turns, a couple of rounds, like in the middle of the period where we had some like real back and forth, like there were poke checks and we were going back and forth. I did feel like once a team got into the offensive zone, though. And depending on what part of their turn they were on, you know, you were almost guaranteed a goal. I think we only had one save, and that's because you did a slap shot from outside the offensive zone.
Yeah. And I probably could have moved in and just shot it. Yeah, I think it seemed like there was a lot of back and forth in the neutral zone, the middle. But as soon as, it was pretty much always a breakaway in the offensive zone, because it was very hard as a defensive player to move your defensive, like it felt like we were always moving forward. Like we didn't really ever like have a chance to move backwards to actually defend. It was almost like a pond hockey style, like 3-on-3, where it's just all offense.
Yeah. And we talked about it at the beginning where it was like, you know, the way the game looks, it can't be a like 1-to-1 simulation of hockey. It does definitely have a feel of like an NBA Jam or Wayne Gretzky's 3D hockey, where it's like, it's that 3-on-3 pond hockey feel.
I don't know. I thought it was, you know, rules wise, it very much came off more like a simulator than I thought it would, which I guess we'll get into a little later. But I felt like thematically, I don't know that it captured like being on the ice in a hockey game, but it definitely felt like a hockey simulator to me. But yeah, so I don't know, like thematically, I don't know that. There's probably like some cool games you could do, unique ways of bringing it in. But since this came off a lot more like a hockey simulator, so I mean, it's going to have limitations, because obviously like you can't capture all the angles. You can't pass a puck at a 35 degree angle. It's only, yeah. What did you think of the art and I guess components in this case?
Yeah. I mean, the art's pretty simple, but, you know, for a game where you're going to spend 95% of your time looking at the plastic miniatures.
Yeah.
I think it's okay that the art the art at least is carried through. Like all the art is similar. It matches the box, all the cards, you know, the characters are fun. One of my line change cards, like you know, the big defenseman is able to see over the boards. And then there's like this tiny little center or winger that like all you see is his eyes and the top of his helmet. So, you know, there's some fun stuff there. And the miniatures are pretty nice from a miniature standpoint. All the sculpts are the same, so everybody's defenseman looks the same. So they have, you could pay extra money and they would have come pre-painted. I didn't do that. So there's little discs that get attached to the bottom. From a miniature standpoint, they look pretty good.
Yeah, I think the art's good. It seems like the components are good quality. I like the little board as the arena layout. They really stuck with the 2020 theme and there's no fans in it. And yeah, like the art's good enough to accomplish, I think, what they needed to. It looks cool. There's a cool little background in the thing. I like that they added in what the model is on the card to help you sort of tie it all together. Nothing like outstanding, but I think it kind of does what you need to. Again, anything that has a grid board, you probably don't want to go too nuts because it overwhelms. Like I feel like some games we've played, you don't want to go like too crazy. Mechanics? Like I said, it came off a little more simulator than I thought it would based on when we had our initial discussion. So I know one, it's interesting because I think one issue with pond hockey was it was very back and forth. So like I took a turn, you took a turn, or like not even a turn, but an action, right? And I think because of that, we could never really go anywhere. So like this game, like you could score goals because if you got a good series of rolls, you could actually break out and get in a position to score a goal. So it made sense that that happened. And I think, you know, the fact that we scored 3 points in a period was about the right amount of scoring for hockey, right? There were a couple of times where you got on a really big streak and I think you rolled like up to 6 dice and I didn't even get a reaction move. And that kind of felt like I was just sitting there. And then on my phone, I guess he's going to go over there and score a goal. I got one reaction and moved a guy one spot, but I mean, then it goes back to the middle and then you're back in the center. So I think it's kind of a hard thing to balance with these games. Cause like I said, if you go too much back and forth, nobody can do anything. You need a chance to be able to string together 3 or 4 moves to actually score a goal. I do think it'd be interesting to see like a simultaneous or like programmed action style of game like this to see how that would work. Cause then you could still get a kind of a string of moves to get away if you managed to pull it off, but everybody would be able to get to take actions to see if they could counter it, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if it would work, but it seems like it'd be interesting.
Yeah. The way the dice, are laid out, there's only one reaction. So is that like 16.5% or whatever it is? There's two puck, two blank, one fail, and one reaction side for each die.
What'd you think of the mechanics?
I mean, way better than pond hockey. It works, right? You got that push your luck. So it's kind of like that idea that your players on the ice are getting tired. So there's more of a chance that they're going to mess up. So it kind of makes you decide, like, do I stop here? Do I keep going? Do I continue to make them tired? I like the elements of, you know, we didn't get to it, but there's a possibility for a fight. I think we did everything except for the fight and pulling the goalie. Just because we looked at it a little too late for a single period friendly game. And the fight is just, if you do a check and you roll 2 or more failures, you fight. And I think it's just like it's a big roll off. So we didn't have any penalties and we didn't have any fights. So that was the only thing we really didn't see.
So on rules,
the rule book has good explanations. There is stuff that's kind of like, I had trouble finding it because there isn't really a table of contents per se. So the one thing that I had trouble finding is like, when do we move the time marker? And there was one little space at the beginning that was like, you know, don't move the time marker if you do this. And it's just like, well, I don't know when we move the time marker. So it took a little bit of time to find that. But other than that, like everything was quick to find. There's in the rule book itself, there's pretty good examples. The back of the rule book has like a whole one team's like turn, like completely laid out to show you like, here's the progression of everything happening to give like another good example. So the rule book is decent enough. I didn't hate it.
It did seem like you went to it a lot.
Yeah. And I feel like this is a game where like, if you played it more, it'd be a lot easier. But like, since this was a first playthrough, and there's still,
cause like where it kind of came off, like a lot of simulator kind of hockey simulator, there's going to be a lot of rules. Cause transferring I mean, sports in general have a lot of rules. So trying to convert them into a game format is going to require a lot of rules, I feel like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty intuitive. I'm curious how it would be teaching to a non-hockey person. I feel like that would be a challenge because I made some assumptions about like offside rules and things like that. Player interaction, I think obviously it's a lot of back and forth. I don't know if it's too deductive because you can kind of, you don't really have to figure out what they're going to do. You kind of, I think there's limited enough actions that it's kind of, you're just sort of trying to outmaneuver each other.
Yeah, and even when you get reactions, like you have a pretty good idea of where they're going. So you're able, it's, you're just limited. You can't really, your reaction isn't really big enough to like stop something.
Right. I think if it had more setup of like, I guess if it were drawn out longer, so like you would try to over one turn, you're more setting up for a potential scoring opportunity. That might be more of like, oh, I got to intercept this guy here. But because the way it played was just very back and forth, which is probably overall good for hockey, I think. It wasn't too much to sort of like think too many moves ahead, I feel like, but it was definitely a lot of back and forth, a lot of direct interaction kind of stuff.
Yeah. There, I mean, it was the exact amount of player interaction I thought we were going to get with a game like this.
Would you play it again?
Yeah, I think I would. There's a lot of replayability. So we played it with the variant of having the arenas. So there's arenas in here. Obviously, they're not named specifically after. So like Colorado, the Avalanche are actually Denver. But the colors on the arena cards are actually pretty darn close to the uniform colors. They're in, I mean, Raleigh, pretty sure that's where Carolina plays anyway. So like if it's not named after the state, it's definitely named after the city that the team plays in. So that variant gives you an extra rule that applies to both teams. It also gives you a suggested 4 line cards to play with, but there's also rules in there about, you know, you can draft or you can like create your own 4 cards. You can go through and just pick the cards. You can create the team that you want to create. So I think replayability is pretty high, and you know, it's a hockey game. Is it a great game? It's, you know, it's not a great game, but I think it's fun enough. And as a hockey fan, I think it appeals to me a lot more than it might to a normal gamer just because I love hockey. So having a hockey board game, it appeals more to me because of that.
Yeah. And I mean, like it looks nice. And if you painted all your minis and stuff,
which that I would be want to do
really that, cool. Yeah. I mean, I think it's playable again. I don't know if it appealed to a non-hockey fan. It took me a minute. Cause going into it, I thought it would be less rules heavy. Like I said, less of a simulation type of sports game. And since it was, it kind of took me a while to realize it was going to have to learn a lot of rules. but like once we got going, it was fun. I think like the one big drawback is the full length. I think I might always play this as like a friendly game. So one period, I feel like an hour and a half would be a lot of back and forth. I mean, even longer than an hour and a half, we spent about an hour on one period. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that was definitely like a learning thing, but yeah, I think, I think I mentioned like NHL 20, from EA Sports, like even those games, like nobody plays a full hour game on those games. They exactly. All do the, you know, shorten it to 20 minutes and make every period, you know, basically five minutes worth. A 20 minute playing a single period is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And I think that is the way that I would play it.
All right. So that is a trick shot.
So I'll try to do this in the voice of a commentator commentating for a game where his team is about to score. So, if you have any recommendations of games you'd like to hear or impressions on, please send them our way. You could do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com or a hit is up on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games! So we increase this by 1. Goal! It's a good hockey goal. I was about to say I-C-I-N-G.
I-C-I-N-G, 1, 2, 3. Not Mike Milbury. He's an asshole.